I recently asked a wise friend of mine what we needed most in order to stop this slide into anarchy that we're seeing everywhere, and he turned to me simply and he said, "We need more cowbell." No, not more cowbell, you idiots. More cowl. We need more Simon Cowls. We need thousands of Simon Cowls. We need perhaps millions of Simon Cowls in order to save this generation from itself and its own parents. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott. And this week's topic sort of devolves from a conversation I had with Mike Rowe on his show, where we were talking about the fact that when I was a theater major, we had a number of different professors. Most of them were okay, but one of them really knew his stuff. It was the only one we ever – I learned everything from. His name was David Shelton. And David Shelton, critiques of your acting scenes were merciless. I mean, merciless, cruel. I remember doing a scene and being finished and thinking I did a pretty good job, and he simply looked at me for about 30 seconds and then just said, just sit down. Okay. Many years later, as we went to his retirement party, which was itself kind of a weird thing, he'd taught there for 40 years, so it's like stepping into a time warp. You know, you're there in the room with people who are in their 50s, and then there are also people in their 20s, you know, and so the whole thing was there. But I had a chance to talk to him long after he was my professor, guys. And I said, you know, David, you were really, really hard on a lot of people, really cruel to them. And he said, no, I wasn't cruel to them at all. There are some people that simply do not have any talent for acting. And somebody has to make that clear to them now, because otherwise they're going to spend the next 5 or 10 years of their life trying to be something that they will not be. This is my responsibility to tell them just how awful they are at this thing they think they're great at, which brings us back to Simon Cowell. Steve, we were talking about this on our backstage show. Obviously, that's where I got the idea for this week's segment. But especially in the early days of American Idol, you would see these people to come in and audition and would be absolutely unbelievably bad. But not only did they not know they were that bad, they thought they were terrific. And this is what we're seeing throughout all of society. It's a result of the self-esteem movement, which has been catastrophic for our society. This idea that if you tell young people that you're the best at everything and everything you do is just the greatest and you're a genius, and the idea that that would somehow turn them magically into geniuses, it's just the exact opposite. If you don't keep score during a baseball game, how are you going to get any better?
Yeah, or why bother playing at all? There are no stakes. There have to be stakes. Just on a personal note, this happened to me in real life. In elementary school, middle school, I had a beautiful singing voice. I tried out for all the like elementary school musicals, and I got a couple of lead roles, and I was up there, you know, singing my heart out, and I was very good at it. In seventh grade, I joined Glee Club, and in eighth grade, they kicked me out of Glee Club. That's when my voice changed, and I didn't go through the squeaky period, the slow changing. No, I literally woke up one morning with this voice. Although I started getting into speech and debate, and even though I didn't go through a squeaky period, if it was a speech contest or a big debate, my voice would crack at the least opportune moment there in front of all the people or judges, whatever. That was a lot of fun. But I didn't know I couldn't sing anymore. I was in there at Glee Club. We were doing some performance at some mother's lunch thing, whatever the heck it was. And in between songs, one of the guys, upperclassmen, standing in front of me in the choir setup, turned around and said, "Just mouth the damn words." I had no idea. I thought I was still good. So that was a harsh lesson, and you need those. You need those harsh lessons. You need Mr. Mel, I think that was his name, the Glee Club guy, to say, "Steve, you're out." You need that guy on the riser in front of you to turn around and say, "Just mouth the words. You're making us look bad," or sound bad, I guess, in this case. And it's this lack of stakes, I guess, Bill. It's the participation trophy attitude. It's the you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you, which, you know, used to be a punchline on Saturday Night Live 30 years ago, and
now it's national policy, federal policy.
Exactly. And so when I see our various social ills, I think you called it our descent into anarchy. Mm-hmm. It's actually worse than that, I think. And I'll keep this as brief as I can. I wrote a very sad column for PJ Media on Tuesday morning, the day we're taping this, called "It Always Starts with the Jews." And the point is that there are all these would-be totalitarians in any society, and Jews are easy to single out. There was an anecdote I read years and years ago. I wish I could remember which book, but in one of the many World War II histories I've read over the years, where a Japanese diplomat reporting from the early days of Nazi Germany telegrammed back to Tokyo how he wished Japan had had Jews, because you've got this minority that you can scapegoat, you can persecute, you can blame all of your ills on, and what a shame Japan didn't have anything like Germany's Jews. And so we are seeing this bill, this totalitarian impulse being acted out in places like Columbia University and at Yale and at Stanford and at Google, where 28 pro-Hamas employees got fired last week for occupying a couple of offices. And Bill, I think one of the things that makes this totalitarian mindset possible, that looks for victims to so that they can promote themselves, comes from this attitude of no consequences. This attitude
that's exactly right. No consequences.
That I can persecute others because that's never going to come back on me. I'm always going to be the one on top because nobody's ever taught me a harsh lesson. And that's when you start really learning the unnecessary harsh lessons, because reality's like that.
Well, Scott, Simon Cowell himself is obviously legendary. I mean, he's clearly a genius. He's put together shows all around the world now that people watch a great deal of. And he's often described as the cruelest man on the planet, because he'll give people an honest appraisal of what their actual abilities are. My entire theory here is that you mentioned on your Right Angle this week that you would, after breakfast, you might disappear on a Saturday and not come back till lunch, and your grandmother wouldn't know where you were, and she wouldn't worry about it too much. The entire idea of childhood is incremental learning, right? You stray to the edge of the property, and then as you get a little older, you go over the fence and maybe into the nearby woods, and then you go through the woods and you start it's incrementally increasing your skill set. But if your level of ability starts out at 10, if you're told that everything you do is at level 10, you simply don't have a chance to realize how awful at something you are, and so you can't get better. I think that's the thing. And out of all the people that ever walked out of an audition on American Idol or America's Got Talent, any one of these shows, of all the people that walked out of there and saying, "This is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life, Simon Cowell. I'm going to be a superstar and you're going to regret the day you did this," not one of them ever has come back and done that.
Yeah. Well, we can't do an episode like this without mentioning the hero of this, which is William Hung, the Berkeley student who appeared on the show and did a version of Ricky Martin's She Bang. After he was done his extraordinary performance, Simon Cowell said, "You can't sing, you can't dance. What do you want me to say?" And William Hung, and I wrote it down here, said, "I already gave my best and I have no regrets at all." At which point some of the other judges applauded him for his great attitude. And then William Hung went on to say, "You know, I have no training at all in singing and dancing." And Simon Cowell's response was, "No. Well, this is the surprise of the century." So, you know, William Hung needed to hear that. Now, as it turned out, William Hung actually had a mild amount of fame after that, playing William Hung, playing the guy who has no talent at all, but is not afraid to stand up. And
for his attitude, but not for his voice,
not for his,
right?
Not I mean, for his voice, yes. Exactly. I think one of the most, when you guys were talking about this, I thought one of the most valuable experiences of my life was being in a wrestling tournament. And I didn't particularly enjoy wrestling. I was kind of with my grandmother on this. I didn't understand why boys would want to roll around on the ground grabbing each other's heinies, as she used to say. But I was in a wrestling tournament. I got like a bye in one round. And then I wrestled against this kid who was very young, but hugely obese. And so he was in a higher weight class. And so I easily dealt with him. And I wound up going into the final match in my weight class, wrestling my little brother, who made short work of me. And my little brother and I shared a bedroom in our house. And on his shelf above his side of the room, he had a little gold wrestling man trophy. And on my side, I had a little silver wrestling man trophy. And I think probably that those two trophies did more for me as a man growing up than anything else, because clearly my brother had something I did not have, and no amount of my determination to be a wrestler was going to change that. He had a natural proclivity for it. He worked hard at it. He enjoyed it. I hated it. I didn't want to be there. And that just kind of reminded me, like, you know, you can't be gold medal in everything. Now, there were things that I could do that he didn't do. And so I think that's where some parents and some adults who are trying to be encouraging to kids make the mistake. They try to give them the impression, on the one hand, they want to say, and I think they should, hey, you know, this is America. You can be whatever you want to be. However, they forget the part that it's a meritocracy. In order to be whatever you want to be, you have to achieve in that realm. And I'm sure there were some loser actors who came through college programs who later on got their act together, so to speak, and became successful. But you can usually tell pretty early on when somebody's got a proclivity for something and when they don't. So yeah, I'm with you on this. And I think that the world does need more people like Simon Cowell. Now, part of his role on that is to be the provocative jerk who says mean things.
Right.
So that's part of the shtick of the show. But sometimes, you know, we've got these are kids who've been watching this show for 14 years and dreaming of getting on it. And they finally get on it. And you're like, wow, on the one hand, I admire your persistence. On the other hand, who has been lying to you for 14 years?
Yeah, so in this particular example, I'm using Simon Cowell as almost like a avatar mm-hmm. of an idea. And the avatar of the idea is that it is not doing you any favors to lie to you about your abilities. And that's what Simon Cowell really represents, is he is the truth. He represents the truth. He speaks the truth. He's not afraid to say the truth. That is his shtick and his entire image. But because of that, he's able to say to people, sometimes this is the worst thing I've ever seen, but sometimes he'll say something like, you can do better or whatever. He's connected to reality. And the self-esteem movement is a departure from reality. This just to refresh, I mean, this is why grown 27-year-olds now are getting pulled over for a traffic stop and then punching cops in the face, then rolling around on the floor and demanding to speak to their mom. At no point during their childhood were they ever given incremental doses of criticism and correction. If they had always been promoted as the best possible thing, then they're going to start believing it. Now, it turns out there's a name for this phenomenon. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. And the Dunning-Kruger effect is very interesting. And what these two psychologists, one of them was named Dunning and the other was named Kruger, as it turns out, what they found out was the less you know about a field, the more highly you rate your ability in that field. And the more you know about the field, the lower you rate your ability in that field. This is connected to the idea of you need 10,000 hours to be really good at anything. 10,000 hours is what you need to really master something. So we need more Simon Cowells. We need people to tell people when they are not doing well. When the amount of young people out there who can't name three countries outside of the United States who are convinced that they're excellent students are never, ever, ever going to get any smarter, and they're never going to get over this handicap that has been enforced on them from above. They didn't ask to be raised this way or taught this way. We need more people saying, no, that is not the correct answer. You got that wrong. Go back and work the numbers again and see if you can come back with the right answer. We need to have more people losing baseball games because the trauma of losing a baseball game stings, but it does teach you on how to lose bigger things down the road, and you're prepared for it. I think we should have Simon Cowells on every corner block. I think they should just be there constantly pointing out and criticizing things, not because I like the idea of criticism, but because I do like the idea sometimes of being connected to the truth in this world of ours, which seems to drift further and further away from that firm foundation with every passing day. For Steve Green and Scott Ott, I'm Bill Whittle. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Right Angle.